Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am introducing a new company to all of you, and what I think is important is a company that's outside of the resource sector. As I've noted on plenty of other daily editorials in the past, is that I am looking for some other companies, some ones that interest me that are dealing in other sectors. And I think it's a great time to be doing that anyway, because quite frankly, we have some pretty full-on bull markets in a wide range of sectors, and part of being diversified is being able to look at these other sectors. And what I like to do is find companies that are driving their own story and can outperform their underlying sector. So I am going to introduce this company. The company's name is Organto Foods, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol OGO. I'm chatting with the co-CEO and chairman, Steve Bromley. Now, Steve, the overall focus of Organto is on healthy food. So healthy eating and healthy living, this is here to stay. And a move towards organic fruits and vegetables and just a generally less processed meal plan that the world does seem to be going to. And I think it's also been helped by the recent COVID shutdown and everybody now more or less staying at home, or at least eating at home more. The company is focused on this healthy eating model in Europe, mostly. You do have a few markets in Russia, let's say, that you are entering, but can you give us just a first broad overview of the goals of the company to get some healthier food to people at more reasonable prices?
Well, great. Thanks, Corey, and I appreciate the introduction. Yes, yeah, so our focus is on fresh organic fruits and vegetables. And, you know, I've been in the organic business now for 20 years. And organic is really being driven by consumers that want to remove genetically modified organisms. They want to remove chemicals from their diet. And they really want to focus on foods that are sustainable and drive health and wellness. And so that's right. Our focus is on healthy eating categories and specifically on organic fresh fruits and vegetables. Organic has grown over the last 20 years, high single, mid double digit numbers every year, and growing at a pace much faster than conventional foods. And so it's a real opportunity as consumers look for health and wellness in their diet. And our focus, as you said, is on using an asset-light business model with products that we source from around the world, and that we bring initially to the European markets. We've been focused on Europe given the retail footprint there and our ability to penetrate that, you know, which we've been very successful in doing. And so our focus today is on Europe. We go to market in 13 countries in Europe with our portfolio of organic fruits and vegetables. So 13 countries, that includes Russia and the UK, and then 11 countries in the EU. And you know, we're seeing rapid growth in demand for healthy foods around the globe. We've seen it a lot in Europe, and that's been demonstrated in the growth that we're realizing. And to your point, Corey, on COVID-19, you know, the unfortunate part is that it's here. The rest of the unfortunate story is we've all been in some form of lockdown now for quite some time. And during that time, consumers are reporting they're cooking much more at home, which is for sure a phenomenon, and that we're eating healthier at home. And, you know, over 22% of consumers have said that, look, they're eating healthier and they're going to continue to eat healthier. It takes about 250 days for a habit to become, you know, you're going to follow that habit frequently. And so we've been in these healthy eating trends during the lockdown for that period of time. So we certainly believe that, you know, the organic foods growth will continue well beyond COVID-19.
All right, Steve, let's talk about this asset light business model, because when you entered this company or took over through a management change in mid-2017, the company initially was more focused on a higher cost model, but you and your team have moved towards this leaner model where you're not a grower. Your margins might not be as high, but you're carrying less risks. Take us through how this asset light model is key to the company.
Sure, you bet. So, you know, in the in the initial build-out of the company, the decision was taken to own as many assets as the company could around the world. And so, you know, they had their own growing, we had our own growing operations in Guatemala and Peru, Argentina, in countries like that. So the company was doing their own growing in full control of the process, but obviously taking the growing risk. On top of that, the company had processing assets in Guatemala. They had a small processing asset in Argentina, in a packaging plant in the Amsterdam area. And when we stood back and took a look at the model, you know, we were very, very convinced that being in the healthy living, healthy eating space was the right place to be. Being in organic produce was a great place to be with a wonderful branding opportunity. When we peeled the onion back further, you know, what became apparent was that the company was exposing itself to various forms of risk, one being growing risk. You know, I've always been a believer, and I hold farmers or growers in the highest of regard. Let growers who know how to do it, because it's come through their family for years and years and years, let them be the growers and just strategically contract with them. And from a processing point of view, use third-party processors in various geographies to do the processing. And the purpose there was to avoid, it was really threefold. One was to avoid the growing risk, which, you know, the company, it's a risk that we felt the company didn't have to take. And from my prior experience in other organic food companies, you know, we hadn't owned the farms and we contracted with growers and it was a very successful model. So it was a proven model that I felt the company could move to. When it came to processing assets, you know, today, if you take a look at where we source our raw materials, we source from, you know, many countries in Europe, but then we also source from Mexico, Peru, Argentina, Chile, Brazil, Kenya, Morocco, Zimbabwe, South Africa. And, you know, to think about owning assets in all of those locations, before we talk about the cost, you know, there was the geopolitical risk. You really have to have good partners to be in those locations. And then on top of all of that was the cost of doing so. So instead of, you know, the idea was rather than taking the farming risk, or the commodity risk, and taking the geopolitical risk of having assets all around the globe, combined with the cost, we felt that we could be much more effective, much more flexible, and much more adaptable by strategically partnering with third-party growers and also third-party processors. And it's worked out really, really well for us. We, in mid-2019, really relaunched the asset-light business model. We've now had 6 consecutive quarters of record revenue growth, 9 quarters of 12-month trailing revenue growth. So it's really paying off. And the nice part about it, Corey, is when we talk about growing, you know, and we've put out some pretty aggressive growth numbers that we're quite comfortable with. In order to grow $10 million in revenue, you know, we need to invest between $1 million and $1.5 million in working capital. We're not looking at plant expansions. We're not looking at buying farms or leasing farms or doing those sort of things. You know, we're strictly managing that process through the relationships that we've built. And it's worked really, really well. And so, you know, we can invest $1 million to $1.5 million in working capital to grow the top line $10 million. And based on the margins that we're realizing today, we get our money back in a year. So it's very capital efficient and a lot less risky. And the last comment that I'd make, Corey, is that during COVID-19, you know, if we had been dependent on only our own farms in specific geographies, our business model would have been much tougher to execute. You know, there were times where you couldn't get freight out of Peru, you couldn't get growers into the fields in Guatemala, whatever the case might be. And we were able to quickly transition to alternative growing locations where we had strategic partners to get supply. So, you know, the asset-light business model has really, really worked well for us, and we really like the fact that it's less risky and it's got a higher return on invested capital.
All right. Can you give us a little bit more insights then on how that revenue model works, where the company makes its revenue in terms of dealing with taking on product, moving product, and even rebranding some of the products?
So, you know, our business model basically works with us contracting with third-party growers. We have boots on the ground in most of the growing regions where we have growing partners today. So we're aware of what's being grown and what the processes are where the product is being grown. Once the grower delivers that product to us, from there, you know, we take ownership of the product. We manage the complete supply chain, all of the logistics involved in getting the product from wherever it's been grown through to the European market. We'll land the product in Europe. We'll then break the product down and add more value to it, as the case might be, and then move it along. So if we just take that back, there are essentially two ways that we'll bring product to the European market. One is by air. So if you think about things like organic asparagus, organic blueberries, raspberries, rather short life products, those products have to travel by air. And that's not just because it's organic. That's the way conventional produce would normally travel as well. And when you get into longer shelf life products, things like organic avocado, limes, mango, ginger, that sort of thing, you know, we'll move those by sea container. So, you know, in the case of organic asparagus, that product is picked on a Monday and we have it in Europe Thursday, and we're marketing it the next week. And the way we structure things is the grower will be paid approximately 50% when the product is delivered to us. We'll then get it into the European market and quickly sell it and then pay the balance off and collect the receivable. So it's, in the case of those short life fresh products, the turn on capital is very, very quickly. You know, you invest a dollar right away. 4 weeks later, you pay another dollar. In between that, you've sold it for $250 or whatever the amount is, and you've got your money back in the space of 30 days or so. So it turns quite rapidly. And it's really quite similar, Corey, on the sea container product, other than the fact that it'll be on the water for 2 to 4 weeks. So you'll pay a dollar. 2 to 4 weeks later, you'll have it in the market. Then you can sell it, collect it within 30 days or so, and then pay the final dollar. So, you know, it's a nice business model that moves quite quickly and turns capital nicely.
Okay. I am going to ask you about where you see near-term expansion coming from, but I first want to go through the revenue growth that we have seen. Really, ever since 2018, there's been some nice revenue growth here. Take us through some of the numbers and what also your guidance is for, let's say, this year.
Right. So in 2018, we had $1.5 million in revenue. And Corey, that was really in the first 6 months of the year as we wound down the asset-heavy business model and moved to asset-light. And then in the back half of 2019, we really transitioned to the asset-light business model. We had revenues in the last half of the year of about $3.7 million. So that was a record for the company versus 2018 that it was at $1.5 million. As we headed into 2020 with the business model proven out and our supply sources growing, you know, we've ended up having a very, very strong 2020. We guided the fourth quarter revenues initially to $4.4 to $4.6 million. And then in January, after we had seen how the quarter had played out, increased that quarter to $4.9 to $5 million. So that will leave us with revenues of $11.4 to $11.5 million in 2020. So that's a 200% increase versus 2019, which was also a record for the company. And what the interesting part was, we were able to exit the year with a revenue run rate over $25 million. So if you took a look at how we were, you know, how the revenues were tracking out in the last 4 or 5 weeks of the quarter, you know, we were in that $25 million range. $25 million is important because that's our cash flow break-even sweet spot. So that was very positive for us. And as we look into 2021, we're again projecting a 200% increase in revenues. Our revenue guidance is $35 to $37 million, and most importantly, with an exit rate of $50 million. So while we exited this year at around $25 million, you know, our plan is to exit next year running at $50 million. And our comfort in that comes from our understanding of the supply sources, our understanding of our growers and the supply that will be made available to us, and the demands that our customers have. So Really exciting times and lots on the go. We're doing it through adding new customers, adding new products to our portfolio. And then, of course, we'll probably talk about it, but, you know, we're really moving forward with the rebranding initiative under IM Organic, which will also drive the revenue.
Okay. Just a quick comment then, in terms of growing products and in terms of growing customers, how does that all happen? How do you get that growth?
Yeah. So we're, you know, the first thing is always our supply chain. And so, you know, we always are looking for new strategic growing partners. We're working with strategic growing partners who are expanding their farms and bringing on more organic acreage. And we work with them to make sure that they're going to have a home for that product. So we're constantly building on the supply side. And the supply side build out starts long before the customer build out. Not that they're, you know, in linear order, but, you know, first we need to be comfortable with the supply. And so that comes from new growers and existing growers who are bringing on more and more supply. What often happens is conventional farms will convert to organic, and say the farm was 50 hectares. Well, they'll do 3 hectares the first year of organic, and then they'll add another 3 on and add another 3 on and add another 3 on as they transition the farm. And so, you know, we're teamed up. And one of the things that we look for with our strategic partners is, are they growing and will they be able to grow with us? Our answer is we hope they will, but that doesn't mean that they can't do business with us. So first thing we're looking at is on the supply side. And then on the customer side, you know, we have 100 active customers today. We're only in 13 countries in the European Union. There's 27 countries, so we're not at all across all of the potential countries. And we're not in all the retailers by a long shot. And the reason we're not in all the retailers is there's no use going to retailers with a sales proposition when you don't have the product. So once we know we have the supply, then we branch out and start introducing our capabilities and our value add through our supply chain and marketing expertise to new customers. And so we're constantly doing that. You know, we deal with conventional retailers. We deal with organic retailers. We deal with online retailers. Well, frankly, everybody's kind of become an online retailer during COVID. And then we deal with service providers and distributors who do the last mile for some of the big retailers to help manage their logistics at their back door. So always out introducing our capabilities, but we don't want to be too far ahead in introducing capabilities until we're sure we have the supply.
Now, let's also talk about the branded products, this I Am Organic brand. How is that key to the company's growth as well?
Yeah, we're really, really excited by this, Corey. And you know, you can have our business today is primarily what we refer to as distributed product and private label. And so distributed, think bulk. So, you know, we bring a large container of organic avocados to the market. We'll break it down into specific sizes for retailers, but they're going to market that product bulk. So if you think about going in and there's large trays of organic avocados that have been laid out in the retail format, we'll have provided that product. We'll also further package that product into a sleeve or a sock or whatever it is that the retailer is looking for in a private label package, and we'll put the retailer's name on that product. We're just in the process of rolling out I Am Organic. I Am Organic was first introduced back when the company first started, but frankly, due to supply problems, the decision was taken to remove that product from the market and not blow up all the brand equity when there was problems with supply. We now have really, really constant, good, credible supply week over week over week, because when a retailer takes your brand, you've got to keep the shelves stocked week over week over week. There are very few branded fresh organic fruit and vegetable offerings in the European market, frankly, in most markets. We see a unique opportunity to build out a branded portfolio. Why do we want to build out a branded portfolio? Our margins are much higher as we add more value, and we believe that building a brand adds more value overall to the company longer term. I am really excited about what we're doing under I Am Organic. I can tell you that back in my days in the meat and dairy industry, launching a brand was all about TV, radio, print media, you know, buy one, get ones in the store to drive trial, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Times have changed, and I'm learning as well on how brands are now launched. It's very much a digital approach to launching this brand. And what has been built is a digital passport. Today, 78% of consumers want to know where their product, where their food came from. And especially when you get into the millennial and Gen Z generations, it's a very big deal. And they shop with their mobile devices and their phones. And so our product, which is the I Am Organic brand, is being launched using a digital platform. So product will have a QSR code on it. And with the click of a QSR code, you know, consumers can find out where the product came from, what the carbon footprint was, who the growers were, what the nutritional profile is, what are recipes for the product, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It is really, really awesome technology, and it plays right into, you know, what consumers are demanding today when it comes to sustainability and transparency. We believe we're the first that are going to do it at scale in fruits and vegetables, and specifically in organic. And so we've been preparing now for the better part of 8 months for this relaunch. We have a pilot structured now with one of the larger retailers in the Netherlands, where we're going to pilot this over the balance of the first half and a little bit into the second half, and then really start to roll it out. But it's really critical to us because it's a differentiator. It allows us to leverage the platform that's in place. You know, if we do distributed products, the bulk product, you know, our margins are, gross margins are kind of in the 8 to 12% range. If we do private label, you know, they're into the average of 15% range, and branded, because of the value that you can bring and the differentiation, you know, they're much higher. And so that's important to us as we, you know, look to long-term profitability of the company, and then also the value that we create by having a brand. We're really excited by it. We're going to have a lot to say about our branding initiatives over the next number of months.
Okay, thank you for that update. Now, in terms of a couple other company fundamentals, share structure, company has just under 250 million shares outstanding, about 285 million fully diluted. Give us some insights on what management insiders hold compared to the retail audience.
Yeah, insiders, management and insiders, which includes the board, we're just a little bit under 38%, so 37.8 or 9%, I believe, is the number. So insiders have a significant interest and alignment with other holders. About 50% is at retail level, Corey. You know, it's a fairly tightly, well, I wouldn't say it's fairly tightly held, but, it, you know, but we know who many of the shareholders are who have been involved as we've built the companies. A lot of the insider positions have been built through investments that we've made to get the business to where it is today. And as you mentioned, we have 285 million, approximately 285 million on a fully diluted basis. We completed that includes a conversion of a convertible note that we issued in late December, early January of this year, where we raised $4.6 million to fund through 2021. So yeah, insiders just under 38%.
Okay. Steve, I appreciate the update here. We are going to wrap it up here. I know there's a lot more to talk about when it comes to this company, so I will be having Steve back on to address some more of the nuances within the company, Organto Foods, as well as answer any of your questions. So please, everybody, send me some of your questions and send me some of your feedback on this company. I love hearing from all of you. You can email me, fleck@kereport.com. And as I mentioned, I will be bringing Steve back on in a couple weeks to simply dive a bit more into this company that has a lot of moving parts and is growing their revenue quite nicely in this continuously growth market of foods, and especially the more healthy organic foods. Steve, thank you for your time today. I hope you have a great rest of your week.